Good morning, Church of Christ. I also like to say good morning to my neighbor and my friend, Doug. It's good to see you here this morning, Doug. As always, guys, it's an honor to stand before you and a privilege to stand before God. With help from God this morning, I'm going to speak on something that I'm very, very passionate about. This morning, I'm going to speak on behalf of the unborn child. I have asked God to take charge this morning and to help me get through this service. My heart goes out to all of those who cannot speak for themselves, and so should yours. God has blessed me with this time to stand before you guys, and I only pray that I serve him well. At this time, would you bow with me, please? Lord, we who are here need you now and forever. Thank you, Lord, for days that turn to nights and nights that turn to days. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of eternal life and for life itself. Thank you, Lord, for every child who is born. And remember those children who are being mistreated and those whose life have been cut short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. January 22nd, 2021 marked the 48th anniversary of the landmark Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, which has resulted in an estimated 62 million abortions, according to one analyst. The National Right to Life Committee, the nation's oldest pro-life organization, said it reached an estimate of 62,502,904 by tracking data from the Centers for Disease Control and the Guttmacher Institute, which previously served as a research arm of the nation's premier abortion Planned Parenthood. Since Guttmacher's latest data was from 2017, the National Right to Life Committee used the number from that year, 862,320, to project figures for 2018 through 2020. While CDC has provided counts up to the year 2018, its numbers are limited due to the exclusion of California, Maryland, and New Hampshire. And those three states, abortion were never recorded. Society as a whole has something at stake when one human being claims the right to kill another or to decide who is worthy of life. The National Right to Life Committee was founded in the mid-1960s in response to abortion laws being liberalized in various states. The National Right to Life Committee is the oldest and largest national grassroots anti-abortion organization in the United States, with affiliates in all 50 states and more than 3,000 local chapters. The committee's founder, Dr. John Wilkes, died February 21st, 2015, at the age of 89. This poem that I'm about to read to you this morning is a poem that I have shared with you many, many times. But this morning, when you hear it, I want you to feel a little different. I want you to let these words live in your heart and marinate into your soul. I want you to feel the sadness that I feel. I want you to leave here this morning with a broken heart. Most of all, I want you to remember the 62 million babies who have been slaughtered and killed. My poem is titled, Remember the Unborn. Do you remember me? I am the unborn. We never had a chance to meet one another because, unlike you, I was never given the chance to live. I didn't even know my name, but I was once called the gift of life. But now I will never see my mother or father. I will never see a bird fly. I will never go to school. I will never play with another child. I didn't even have a voice. But if I did, I would have asked this question. What did I ever do to deserve such an awful punishment? Life has already passed me by. But there are many, many more just like me, waiting and hoping to live, waiting and hoping to be born, to see the sun, to see a bird fly, to go to school, or to play with another child. So next time you go to your knees in prayer, remember me, remember the unborn. When I myself was born, my mother was only 14 years old. But by the grace of God, she was blessed to have two very special aunts, Miss Sister and Miss Gladys. Miss Sister took me in when I was only 4 days old, and together with Miss Gladys, they gave me the best life the inner child could ever have. Even though Miss Sister did not bring me into this world, she will always be the only mother that I've ever known. I will forever thank God for these two special ladies, for loving, providing, and giving me a life that I will always remember. Church of Christ, there are still good people left in this world. I thank God each and every day for the two who found me. I could have been an abortion myself, but two people stood up for me. Miss Sister took me in and gave me a home and raised me as her own child. Oh God, how could I ever forget that? So now I speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. There are many people in this world who would do anything to become a parent. People are waiting in line and going through the process each and every day to adopt a child, to complete their families, or to give love to a child who is all alone. I want your heart to break this morning to a child who is hoping and waiting to live, to a child who is hoping and waiting to be born. One person's loss could be another person's gain. The innocent and most vulnerable among us are babies inside and outside of the womb. Thousands of babies are being killed every year, and the abortionists show no remorse. There is only one God, and no living soul has the right to take away what he has made. In John 10:10, Jesus Christ himself said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." Brothers and sisters in Christ, destroying life in the womb is not life to the fullest. Destroying life in the womb is murder, sin, and abortion. John 1, verse 3, 4 says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life." Colossians 1, 16 says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth." Lord, in your love for us, protect us against the wickedness of the devil. And remember all those little ones whom you have given the gift of life. Touch with pity the heart of every pregnant woman and help them to see that the baby they carry is made in your image as well as theirs. And bless the new fathers to be, to encourage life and not death. Dispel their fear and selfishness, O Lord, and give them true hearts to love and care and accept and give much needed love to their new gift from God. Luke chapter 1, verse 41 through 44 says, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she said, 'As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.'" So clearly, the baby in her womb experienced transcendent joy at the voice of Mary. Church of Christ, that's an experience that only a person can have. Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is he, is she who has believed what the Lord said she would accomplish." And Mary said, "My soul rejoices the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of his humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. You who have done great things, deliver your unborn from the hands of the wicked. Let your glory be made and shown all over the world. Lord, you made the summer and the winter. You established the sun and the moon. The day is yours, as well as the night. Genesis 1:27 tells us this about you. It said, male and female, you created them both. Listen to me, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Thus said the Lord. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? I make known the end from the beginning. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. My purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. And I will grant my salvation to all of my people. Unborn and born lives are equal before God. And it is extremely important that the Lord does not consider unborn children to be of less worth than born ones, as do the abortionists. Our children are one of our greatest gifts from God. I look at the little one back there and I see how proud the family is. We are a church. We are a nation under God. And if one of our young ones should suffer, we all should suffer. And when one is born, thank God for the joy that it brings. 1 Corinthians 12:26-27 reads, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it, even God's unborn child. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for him to direct his steps. Excuse me. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. God giveth, and only God should take away. Every man, woman, and child was created in the image of God. Male and female, big and small, God made us all. Children of God, the unborn is a human life. And the truth of this statement is self-evident, but nonetheless has been questioned by those who have a vested interest in the taking of unborn life. The Bible is quite explicit about unborn life. As Tony just read, Psalm 139, verse 13 through 15 reads, "For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." David, who wrote this psalm, referred to himself in the womb as "I and me," making it clear that he himself was once there and not something that turned into him at birth. Inside or outside of the womb, life is precious. Every man, woman, and child has been blessed by God the right to live by the sacrifices of Jesus Christ. From every corner of the world, as far as you can see, God created it all. Who's to say who lives and who dies? Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Your hands shaped me. You made me. Did you not clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones, strength, resilience, and power? You, Almighty God, gave me life. This is what the Bible says about our Creator. It says, "In his hands is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being." All of life is sacred, and human life is the most valuable and precious commodity in the world. Cursed is the man who accepts a bribe to take a human life. The sixth commandment, written in stone by God himself, says, "Thou shalt not kill." Church of Christ, the unborn is a person. On January the 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court stated in Roe versus Wade that the unborn was not fully a person. But he who made you and me disagrees. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Just like what God said to Jeremiah, before you and I was formed in the womb, God knew who and what we would be. black, white, male or female, we were all set apart. We are a part of a creation called the human race. We are the property of God. In Matthew 10:30, Jesus said, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Guys, listen to this and know this. The Supreme Court was wrong then, and the Supreme Court is wrong now. Our children are a blessing. Miss Wanda, Freddie, your grandbaby, that's a blessing from God. That's no accident. That's what God encourages. That is a blessing from God. Our children are a blessing. In Psalms 127:3, it says, behold, children are a blessing from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like armies in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. In the matter of abortion, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Other than Jesus Christ, who is more innocent than the unborn child? According to the Holy Bible, abortion is first degree murder. And if the laws against murder in America was applied equally to all murderers, the abortionists would be getting the same penalty as other killers. Genesis 9:6 said, whoever shed the blood of man unjustly, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God has God made man. Revelation 6:10 says, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, said the Lord. Murder is murder. And every Christian should be working overtime to bring this unjust condemnation about, rather than letting the abortionists grow wealthy on human blood. And to all who sit back and watch this go on, in the words of Jesus Christ himself, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. John 16:21 says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born to the world. So now the time in the womb is finished. Now a mother's arms takes over the task of holding, loving, and caring for her baby. Isaiah 49:5 says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? and have no compassion on a child she has born? God is still with us. He said, though she may forget, I will not forget you. Society continuously seeks to devalue the lives of the unborn, creating its own definition of humanity based on distorted views of morality. But the undeniable fact is that life begins at creation, and a human is created as soon as he or she is conceived. And God is present at every creation. In fact, he is the creator of all life. Our value as human beings created in his image is conceived even before we are. There was a time when I never would have thought that this morning lesson would even be necessary, and that a time would come when we would have to fight on the behalf of our unborn babies. There is a reason why I always say that every life matters. Reason being, because it does. It's up to you and me and every man and every woman of God to come together to put an end to this senseless slaughter and destruction of human life. I ask this question this morning of our Creator. God in heaven, where are your children? Jesus, where are your disciples? Where are their hearts? Where are their voices? Where are their compassion? How much longer will we allow you and your unborn child to be persecuted? Jeremiah 40:10 said, a curse on him who is lax in doing the Lord's work. But 1 John 2:17 adds a little comfort. It said, whoever does the will of the Lord will live forever. But where are you at? In a world filled with sinful people, what is God asking you to do? What is your task? Will you deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow Jesus? Will you do the work that Jesus Christ has left us to do? Colossians 3:24 says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I am 65 years old, and I thank God for all of it. These people who kill our unborn children, they too were given the gift of life. Now they live to take the life from another. How soon they forget. They call themselves men and women. They call themselves adults. If this is true, pick on someone your own size. Leave God's children alone. Leave them alone. It's not up to you or me to kill or mistreat any child. Who in the world do these people think that they are? But what they don't know, Church of Christ, what they don't know is that the unborn child has an ace in the hole. His name is Jesus Christ. He sits on the right-hand side of God the Father. His home is in heaven. And there's room for you and me. Psalm 68:5 says, "The Lord is a father to the fatherless." Proverbs 29:15 reads, "A child left to himself disgraces his mother." 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "The battle belongs to the Lord." This closing statement comes from the book of Romans and the book of John. It said, "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Give me the heart of a servant, tender, faithful, and true. Use me, O Lord, so that the world can see you." Bow with me one more time, please. Lord, you have heard the plea. Give hope to this prayer. Father, the unborn are small and weak, but you, Lord, are mighty and strong. Lord, you are our first and last line of defense. Touch the hearts, minds, and souls of those who murder and destroy. Father, have taken a stand on the behalf of the unborn child. I have written poems. I have sent out letters to politicians. But Lord, poems are not working, and letters don't seem to matter. Come into this world and change what needs to change and save what needs to be saved. Father God, it seems that we are living in a world when one or your people go out, they are confronted by two of Satan's. Lord, we are outnumbered and our voices are not been heard. Lord, we call on you. Lord, I'm begging you. I'm pleading, Almighty God, that you will help us. Only you can stop this insanity that's going on all over the world. Father God, when will you come? How much longer will this evil last? Lord, we continue to pray to you. We continue to follow you. And we continue, oh my mighty God, to need you each and every day of our life. We are few. We are not many, but we are dedicated to you, Father. Give us what we need. Prepare us, Almighty God, to go out in the world and fight the enemy to save those who want to be saved, and a shining little light on those who are lost. But I thank you, Father, for allowing me this morning to stand on behalf of something that you are so passionate about. Something, Almighty God, that you speak a lot about in the Bible in different verses and different chapters. Father God, like I said, my poems or my letter, they're not being heard anymore. But Father God, you can change things. You can change all that needs to be changed. So Lord, we call on you this morning to be a blessing to those unborn children who are just struggling to live. Someone who is outmatched at birth. Someone who will never get a chance to experience life. So God, we thank you this morning. And I thank you again, Almighty God, for letting me stand before you and your congregation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. At this time, the sermon has come to an end and the doors of the church are open. If you'd like to come up for prayer, or if you'd just like to come up and leave something at the altar, we ask you to come now as we stand and sing.